The Old Testament reading for the baptism of our Lord is from 1 Kings chapter 8. Then the priests brought the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord to its place in the inner sanctuary of the house, in the most holy place, underneath the wings of the cherubim. For the cherubim spread out their wings over the place of the Ark, so that the cherubim overshadowed the Ark and its poles. And the poles were so long that the ends of the poles were seen from the holy place before the inner sanctuary, but they could not be seen from outside, and they are there to this day. There was nothing in the Ark except the two tablets of stone that Moses put there at Horeb, where the Lord made a covenant with the people of Israel when they came out of the land of Egypt. And when the priests came out of the holy place, a cloud filled the house of the Lord, so that the priests could not stand to minister because of the cloud. For the glory of the Lord filled the house of the Lord. Then Solomon said, "The Lord has said that he would dwell in thick darkness. I have indeed built you an exalted house, a place for you to dwell in forever." This is the word of the Lord. The epistle is from Romans chapter 12, beginning at verse 1. "I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. For as in one body we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function, so we, though many, are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another." This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 3rd chapter, beginning at verse 13. "Glory be to thee, O Lord." Then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to John, to be baptized by him. John would have prevented him, saying, "I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me?" But Jesus answered him, "Let it be so now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness." Then he consented. And when Jesus was baptized, immediately he went up from the water. And behold, the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove, coming to rest on him. And behold, a voice from heaven said, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased." This is the gospel of the Lord. Our sermon text today is the gospel lesson just read, Matthew chapter 3, 13 to 17. The sermon title is, "This is God's beloved Son." As a pastor now for over 36 years, I've had the privilege of getting to know many families. I observed these families from the inside, during the good times and the bad, at meals, at parties, at gatherings, at baptisms and funerals, at weddings and at hospital rooms. If you've observed families like I have, you would know there are basically three types: happy families, unhappy families, and broken families. In the latter case, the unhappiness became so strong that separation and divorce were the result. But even though they are separated, and maybe they hate each other, they are still family. It's odd how that works out. In our gospel lesson today, we have the privilege of getting to observe the happiest family imaginable. We get to see them at the baptism of one of their members. The family I'm talking about is the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Now, I know this is not a mom and pop and kids type of family, but in some respects, it is a family. Father, Son, and Holy Ghost are all related. They all have the same genes. They all have the same divine substance. And most important, the love and care they show for each other is simply fantastic. It's the origin of love as we know it. This father loves this son like no father on earth because Jesus is a pure joy with no heartache or disappointment involved whatsoever. He is the perfect son in every way, so that the Father says in verse 17, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." This appearance of the Father and the Holy Spirit, together with Jesus at our Lord's baptism, is what the church calls an epiphany. It is why this gospel is included in the epiphany season of the church year. If you compare this epiphany to other manifestations and appearances of God in the Bible, the difference is like night and day. In this epiphany, everything is gracious, friendly, inviting, and joyful. The Father's voice is simply there, without being thunderous, and it is filled with paternal joy. The Spirit appears in the form of a dove, a non-aggressive bird with a very pleasant call. Jesus, coming out of the water, looks like a dripping wet surfer in the sunshine, smiling at all his friends and relatives. Now compare this scene of the Epiphany of God, the Holy Trinity, with other epiphanies of God. God appears to Noah, angry at evil men and women, and soon the whole earth is destroyed in a massive flood. God appears to Abraham, angry at Sodom and Gomorrah, and soon the southern Jordan Valley looks like an atom bomb hit it. God appears to Moses in a cloud with angel trumpet blasts, smoke, thunder, lightning, and fire, even setting the mountain on fire, and the Israelites back away in fear. God appears to Elijah on the mountain with raging fire, hurricane winds, and earthquakes, because he is angry that Elijah has chickened out. God appears to Isaiah in the heavenly temple with smoke and earthquakes, fearsome angels standing guard. And Isaiah says in so many words, "Woe is me, I'm toast." God appeared in a similar manner to other prophets, including Ezekiel and Daniel. And at the end of the scriptural revelation, in the book of Revelation, God appears to John, and John sees the evil work of Satan in the history that would come after him, and the final destruction of the world with the most horrible scenes imaginable. Now, what's the difference between these two types of epiphanies? Jesus is the difference. When God sees man with Jesus, he is gracious, loving, and joyful. When God sees man without Jesus, he is angry, wrathful, and smoking mad at sin and everything that comes from sin. And that is why God created baptism and gave it to the church and to you. When you are baptized, God sees Jesus with you. And then you're one part of one big happy family. If you are not baptized, God sees only you and sees only sin. If you knew what God saw you without Jesus, you would say with Isaiah, "Woe is me, I am toast." Baptism puts Jesus together with the baptized, and so accomplishes what Martin Luther calls the great exchange. In the baptismal exchange, your sin goes to Jesus, and his righteousness goes to you. You are still a sinner after baptism, but God doesn't see the sin anymore. All that God sees when he looks at the baptized believer is Jesus, and that makes God very happy. This is the main reason that Jesus had to be baptized. Jesus was not baptized for his own sin because he had none. He was baptized for your sins, for my sins, and for the sins of all people in history. This was the beginning of Jesus' work of salvation of mankind. And that's why he told John, "It is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness," in verse 15. In other words, it was the right thing to do in order to complete the work of salvation by which Jesus makes you righteous in God's sight. Because all that God can see when you are baptized is not you, but Jesus, his son, his beloved son. And so he loves you. The other side of Jesus' baptism is your baptism. What happened to you the day that you were baptized? Baptism is how Jesus makes you righteous in God's sight. Here it is good to remember what Luther's Small Catechism teaches about baptism. And I quote that at some length here. Luther writes, "What is baptism? Answer. Baptism is not merely water, but it is water used according to God's command and connected with God's word. What is this word of God? Answer, as recorded in Matthew 28:19, our Lord Jesus Christ said, 'Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit.' What gifts or benefits does baptism bestow? Answer, it effects forgiveness of sins, delivers from death and the devil, and grants eternal salvation to all who believe, as the word and promise of God declares. How can water produce such great effects? Answer, it is not the water that produces these effects, but the word of God connected with the water, and our faith, which relies on the word of God connected with the water. For without the word of God, the water is merely water and no baptism. But when connected with the word of God, it is a baptism. That is, a gracious water of life and a washing of regeneration in the Holy Spirit. What does such baptizing with water signify? Answer: it signifies that the old Adam in us, together with all sins and evil lusts, should be drowned by daily sorrow and repentance and be put to death, and that the new man should come forth daily and rise up, cleansed and righteous, to live forever in God's presence. End of quote from Luther's Small Catechism, the fourth part. As you've just heard, and hopefully remember from your days of training in the Catechism, baptism is truly a gracious and a lovely gift. For us Christians, no gift is more precious and gracious, because through baptism we receive eternal life. Sad to say, there are many Christians who despise baptism or who believe it is nothing more than a nice ritual. They do not believe in any event that it gives God's grace, righteousness, and salvation. These folks are known as the Baptists and all groups in evangelicalism that descend from them. Some of them believe that baptism doesn't matter because you're already elect or reprobate before birth by God's predestination. Some believe that baptism doesn't matter because it's their willpower that makes a difference between salvation and condemnation. Some believe that baptism doesn't matter because it's their own holiness or experience the divine power that makes the difference. But they are wrong. What's the difference between salvation and condemnation? Between God's love and God's wrath? Jesus is the difference. Not your election, not your willpower, not your holiness. And you receive Jesus' righteousness, holiness, and other benefits through baptism. It is as simple as that. Christian families may be truly joyful and celebrate when members of their family are baptized. When their child, youth, or adult becomes baptized, they become part of God's happy family. And we can see and hear this in our gospel on this day, the festival of the baptism of our Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.